We're looking at investing, and we're always torn between how to best allocate our investments, or which strategies make the most sense, or how to make the most money, which portfolio manager or asset manager is going to be the best, which strategies work and which ones don't, active and passive investments, and all those sorts of confusing terms. And hopefully we can unpack that. We're looking specifically at active versus passive investment strategies in today's show. And I'm joined on the line by Daniel Dospassos, who is the portfolio manager at FNB ETFs, to try and unpack this and try and make sense of this. Good evening, Daniel. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start by understanding the differences between active and passive investments. I mean, obviously, the words might give it away a bit, but let's understand the fundamental differences between the two types of strategies.
Hi, Jimmy. Thank you for having me. So I guess to start off with active portfolio management, that's the more traditional portfolio management that a lot of investors are accustomed to. That's looking to leverage off the skills of various portfolio managers in terms of how they can actively navigate themselves through various financial markets and conditions. Within that, they often try to look at various fundamentals of the various shares or companies or economies that they're looking to invest in. This talks to equities as well as fixed income, both locally and globally. So that's the more traditional asset management, which people are familiar with. Passive management, or as we like to refer to it as indexation, is actually more of a rule-based approach in terms of how we look to invest and manage our portfolios. Within that, we then look to see how we can track an index associated to a specific benchmark or asset class, either locally or globally, in terms of generating investment returns. So I guess the active is a more traditional way. Passive is something which has come into prominence over the last few years for a number of reasons, but essentially it's just looking at a rule-based scenario to try and generate returns linked to that of the index which a portfolio might be looking to track.
So Daniel, when we look at these different types of strategies, obviously, as you said, they have different directions that they take from what we understand about them, but they also share some commonalities, and there are some shared skills that are required from an asset manager and from an investor, regardless of whether you choose active or passive strategies. What are some of these overlaps where, regardless of the strategy you're deploying, you still have to kind of understand both sides of it?
That's true. So I think the overriding comment is, you know, whether active or passive, you're still a portfolio manager. So by being a portfolio manager, you're needing to know and understand the asset classes that you might be investing in, what your investment strategy is, how you're going to maintain the cash flows within your portfolio, and touching on things such as cash drag, as well as being exposed to the market from an investment return point of view and minimizing your opportunity costs of potentially sitting in cash, and how you navigate various macroeconomic environments. So I guess within that, you know, we're all still investment professionals. We all still need to know and understand our strategies from an active portfolio management point of view. You might look at more fundamentals, such as how you would value a company, what's the dividend yield on a company, its price earnings ratio, price to book, etc. Or from a fixed income point of view, trying to touch on the yield curves, what you perceive to be the long-term real inflation, the duration associated with your portfolio. Whereas on a passive management side, you know, a lot of it comes down to then knowing and understanding in extreme detail the actual indices that you're looking to try, trade, or track within your portfolio as part of the management. Now, within that, you still need to understand and know where the market is going, how the market is moving, what the liquidity is associated with the various instruments that you're trading within that portfolio. And just focusing on liquidity, for example, what might be a liquidity risk within an active portfolio management portfolio could also differ to what could be perceived as being liquidity risk within a traditional passive portfolio management point of view. So a lot of the time, it's, you know, sometimes there's different sides to the coin. But aside from that, you know, you're still using the same coin. You're still trying to get some form of return by investing in the market.
Obviously, Daniel, this applies to not only the seasoned asset managers, but I imagine also to those that are just managing their own portfolios in their own private capacities. There would be some form of just needing to understand this as well. Daniel, let's look at both of these strategies and try and unpack why an individual or portfolio manager, a private investor, might lean towards one versus the other. What are the pros of going passive and what are the pros of going active?
So from a passive portfolio management point of view, the typical pros that you tend to get is it's associated with lower costs or a lower management fee. So given that the strategy associated with the management of those portfolios is to track an index, the fees tend to be a lot lower so that we can minimize the tracking errors and try and get a return as close to the underlying benchmark or index that we're looking to track. So low fees is definitely an advantage from a passive portfolio management point of view. And associated with that, and I touched on it already, is we're trying to generate benchmark returns with reference to an index. Now, the underlying index can vary significantly from local equities, offshore equities, various specific sectors. You could, for example, try to focus on financials or industrials or resources within an index. And again, you've also got fixed income passive portfolios. On the active side, you are, for the most part, looking to try and rely on the skills of an active portfolio manager in terms of how they would actually navigate the financial markets themselves. So within an equity portfolio, for example, we would typically look to track an index like the top 40 index or a mid-cap index in our portfolios, and that's giving you those benchmark returns, whereas the active portfolio manager would then look to apply their fundamentals to try and decide which shares within that universe they would like to be invested in, which shares they would prefer to be overweight, underweight, and that could also be determined along with the various macroeconomic or business cycles that we might be going through both locally and on the international markets to try and form a view. So the active portfolio managers are trying to actively determine which shares they would want you to be invested into and which investment cycles they think are going to outperform or business sectors are going to outperform relative to others. Whereas on the passive side, again, you know, we are essentially putting that in the hands of the investor who's making that decision and providing them with those benchmark returns.
So Daniel, let's look at the other side of the coin. Obviously, with all of these advantages, there must be some significant disadvantages, and this is kind of why the two types of strategies exist. What are the downsides to, say, going the passive route, or the limitations perhaps to going the passive route, and at the same time to going the active route? What are the risks and the downsides on that side?
So it's a very good question. I think to start off on the passive side, as I've mentioned previously, we look to try and give you an indexation or benchmark return. So if the underlying benchmark which you're investing into tends to underperform, well, then your investment itself is also going to underperform, because we are not incentivized to try and make a call in the market, but rather we are there to provide you the returns of those benchmarks. So if you selected the right benchmark, we could give you excess returns. If you selected the wrong benchmark or you've allocated to the wrong asset classes, we could give you negative returns. From an active portfolio management point of view, though, what they typically look to do is to try and navigate those markets during those various cycles. So as I mentioned, again, I'll just refer to local equities because it's quite a common example, which a lot of us are familiar with, is that if you're in volatile markets, you know, volatility can bring risk. That risk can bring excess returns, but it also brings the potential for losses as well. From an active portfolio management point of view, they would often look to try and reduce your drawdowns within your portfolio, so as to minimize your losses in volatile markets, in a bear market typically. And then obviously in a bull market, they would look to try and generate you excess returns on the upside as well. Whereas the passive managers, we're just simply giving you those benchmarks that we're looking to track. And then obviously within those benchmarks, as I mentioned, there's a wide range of variety of indices that you could look to reference via the various passive strategies. And then within that, you know, you could also yourself play an active role in terms of deciding which parts of the economy you want to be invested in. I think one point which is quite interesting to touch on is that selecting a passive index in itself can be an active decision. And within that, you know, and it depends on the active manager that you might speak to, some of them would also advocate that parts of their strategies from an active strategy point of view is trying to select the correct benchmarks that they want exposure to. And then they might even look to get passive exposures within their portfolios, depending on the various themes that they might want to play. So it's not always necessarily a traditional market cap type product. But again, like I mentioned, it could be something like a sector in terms of resources or financials, could look to play, for example, technology stocks, whether locally or offshore. The overall of decisions is quite wide. And I guess it comes down to, are you willing to pay for an active manager to make those decisions for you? Or are you willing to make those decisions for yourself and to also then decide which benchmark returns you would like exposure to and possibly build your own portfolio associated with that?
If you're just tuning in, we're in conversation with Daniel Dos Passos, who's portfolio manager at FNB ETFs. And we're taking a look at the differences between active and a passive investments and investment management. So Daniel, as a beginner investor, let's take it slightly a step back from the complexities of understanding which type of strategy to go with. As a beginner investor, what do I then put forward in terms of navigating this minefield? Do I start off in having a conversation with a financial advisor? Do I start off with a portfolio manager? Do I start off on my own and then grow into it and sort of then bring on board experts later? What would be the best strategy to go about from a beginner's point of view?
So I think from a traditional beginner's point of view, someone who isn't directly associated with or familiar with financial markets, it's probably always a good idea to engage with some form of a financial advisor to get an understanding in terms of what your requirements are, what your risk is, and your current financial situation, along with the risk that you can take in the short to long term. Financial advisors definitely add a lot of value in that space. From that, you know, they would also start giving you some of their views, some of their opinions, and help guide you in terms of where you need to go. As you progress on your investment journey, you know, in my mind, it comes down to a situation of you learn to walk before you run kind of scenario. So start with someone who can help train you, get you to understand where you need to be. They might have different views as to how to allocate your portfolio from across the risk spectrum as well as across the active versus indexation spectrum. But within that, the financial advisor is always a good place to start. And then as you formulate and understand markets better and start doing your own research, you can possibly then start getting a little bit more adventurous along your own risk profile and your understanding of the market.
So, Daniel, it sounds like there are some strategic advantages depending on which side of the fence you sit on. If you want something more bespoke, something more personalized or more reactive to what's happening in the market, you probably go for an active strategy. But again, that comes with increased risk, understanding that there's a lot more dynamic parts that are moving around there versus if you're looking at sort of a passive thing, it's kind of a set and forget almost, but having set it correctly and having put in the right parameters for that. The big important question comes now, Daniel, is the impact that these strategies then have on your portfolio. Do you then go for active? Do you go for passive? Do you go for a hybrid of the two? I mean, assuming, of course, that financial constraints and things like fees and all of that are taken into account, which of the strategies is better? And how do you make that decision for yourself as an investor and convey that to whether it's your own portfolio manager or whether it's yourself?
So I guess there's a lot to answer within that. So for me, one of the underlying principles when it comes to any form of investment strategy, you know, you need to understand what your objectives are. You also then need to start doing your research, which you've touched on. You know, although there is active portfolio manager out there, you know, certain managers perform better in certain cycles versus others. You know, there is an average portfolio manager out there. I'm not trying to have a go at the industry at all. It just comes down to, you know, there is a selection of managers you might want to choose, and some might change depending on various cycles. So that's a lot of research which needs to be done. In addition to that, it also then comes down to doing research to understanding on a passive side what those benchmarks might actually be and where you want exposure to. And again, to that, in the touch on the research, there might be certain parts of, you know, your portfolio or the financial markets which you're more familiar with. Maybe you understand the bond market better. Maybe you understand equities. Maybe you've got a better foothold on what's happening locally versus what you have offshore. And then within that, you could also then start formulating an opinion in terms of, I'd rather be active from a South African equity point of view, for example, and then be passive from a global equity point of view, depending on how global managers have performed relative to their benchmarks, etc. So it, unfortunately, is never a one size fits all. I think the key point here is doing your research, understanding the various managers, trying to determine when various strategies tend to outperform versus others. What are those cost implications associated with that? You know, there is the cost saving benefits of passive on the one side. On the active side, you know, if you have a good manager and they do perform well, they can help mitigate certain downside risks for you. And again, it also then comes down to what kind of sophistication you have from in terms of the research that you're applying to your own portfolio. Are you simply just looking to build, to invest in certain building blocks, which the passive space can often do quite nicely for you? You got benchmarks, they're observable, and you can formulate your own opinion on that in terms of which asset classes you want to invest in, which weights. Or if you also want more of a hands-off approach, you could look into some kind of multi-asset portfolio, which then could be managed on a passive basis with an active overlay, which is something that we do within the group. Or alternatively, you could go the full traditional active space and give, you know, your full investment into the investment professionals. So there's never, unfortunately, a one-size-fits-all answer, but I guess it still comes down to doing your research, deciding what you're comfortable with, and also then obviously understanding your risk appetite that you're comfortable with in the short term, as well as the long term, and what your return objectives are over the short to long term as well.
Well, there you have it, folks. You can be an active investor, you can be a passive investor, but you can also be passively inactive in your investments, depending on what your strategy looks like and what your objectives are. We'll leave it at that, Daniel. Thank you so much for those insights. That's Daniel Dos Passos, who is the portfolio manager at FNB ETFs, joining me to look at the differences between active and passive investments and asset management.